Desert Island Discs. Each week we ask a well-known person the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? Assuming, of course, that you also had a gramophone. As usual, the castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week is a very celebrated American jazz star, a man who's probably caused more controversy than any other jazz musician since the war. I'm welcoming ashore Dave Brubeck.
Hello.
But, Dave, this isn't your first visit to Britain, is it?
No, it isn't. I was here once during the war, and then I was here on my last tour about a year ago, and, of course, this is the third time.
Yes. Will it be your first visit to a desert island?
Yes, definitely.
What would be your reaction to solitude? Could you take it?
Well, I've been alone a lot in my life, being raised on a huge 45,000-acre cattle ranch, and I always kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm. 45,000 acres, something we can't envisage over here. Now, you have those 8 discs. What test did you apply in choosing them? What qualities were you looking for?
Well, in choosing the 8 discs, I think I chose the ones that were the most important to me in my development as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the qualities that I like the best in music, the emotional quality.
What's the first one?
The first one is the Brandenburg Concerto No. 2 in F major.
Why do you choose this?
Well, this is the recording that I like to put on at home in the morning. It's very good wake-up music. It's kind of like a third cup of coffee.
This is the one with the trumpet in.
Right, the F trumpet.
Part of the third movement of Bach's second Brandenburg Concerto, played by the Stuttgart Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Karl Munziger. Now, what's your second choice?
Well, I would choose Cottontail by the Duke Ellington Orchestra,
mm-hmm.
because this was, to me, the greatest orchestra in jazz, and Duke is my favorite jazz composer, and he's still my favorite jazz band, big band. But this particular recording struck me when I was quite young, and it opened my eyes to a possibility of polytonality. Later on, I found out that it wasn't conceived with the idea of 2 keys, but when I heard it in 2 keys, and it opened a lot of doors for my future development.
Duke Ellington and his orchestra, a 1940 recording of Cottontail. Dave, whereabouts in the United States do you come from? Where was that 45,000-acre cattle ranch?
Well, that was in Northern California. I was born quite near there.
Yeah. Were your parents musical?
Well, my father was a cattleman. My mother was a musician, which was a very odd combination. She came here to London to study with Tobias Matte
mm-hmm.
in 1926.
At what age did you start taking interest in music yourself?
Well, I was about 4, I guess. I started the piano with my mother and started composing quite young.
When did the idea first hit you that you were going to make music your career?
Well, it didn't actually seem that way until my second year of college,
mm-hmm.
because I had gone to school as a veterinarian major, and then I switched to music the second year.
Yes. What was your first professional engagement? Did you take in any jobs while you were still studying?
Well, I was 14 when I started working with dance bands up in this hill country. They were very odd type of bands, kind of Western and swing all mixed up. And then I worked in college, sometimes 6 nights a week in what we call nightclubs, and worked my way through school,
mm-hmm.
playing in jobs.
You mentioned you had a brief visit to Britain when you were in the Army. Did you have any chance to make music?
In the Army, I enlisted as a musician. But when we became short of men, they took all the bandsmen and put us in the infantry. So I came over to the European front as a rifleman replacement, and I was at Metz when we were all stopped there. And some girls in a Red Cross unit came up to the audience if there was a pianist. And I remember scrambling over the tops of all the GIs to get up to the piano. I hadn't touched one for months.
Yeah.
So the officers, the next day, our group was shipping out to the front. They came right up to our unit and asked for me to stay behind, which was a fortunate thing because most of those fellows didn't get back.
Mm-hmm. And when you left the service, what happened?
Well, then I studied on the GI Bill with Darius Milhaud, the French composer, at Mills College in Oakland, California. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think at this point we ought to break off and have another record. What's number three?
Number three, Tiger Rag of Art Tatum.
Ah, yes.
Art Tatum is my favorite, a jazz pianist, and I think he always will be. He could play faster, as you'll hear on this recording, than anyone. He had a tremendous harmonic and rhythmic sense, and he was my inspiration when I was starting jazz.
Art Tatum's Tiger Rag. Well, after your war service, Dave, you went to study with Darius Milhaud. Did you at any time contemplate a career in classical music?
As a composer, yes, I did. But Milhaud, of all people, said I must stick in jazz. That why should I give up something that I could do and just become a copy of the Western European-type composer? Which I, at that time, wanted to do.
Yes. He's very sympathetic to jazz.
Very sympathetic, and he encouraged all of us, all the jazz musicians in that area.
Mm-hmm. You were still at college when you formed your octet.
Right, we were all students of Milhaud at the time. Not all, five of the eight. And for our homework, when he'd assign us to write different compositions, we decided, well, we'll write for the jazz musicians in the class. Mm. And many of the first octet recordings were actually homework for Milhaud's class, like the fugues of David Van Creek, which are absolutely strict fugues.
Yes. And the octet made quite a lot of recordings at that time.
Well, the ones that released are actually concerts at Mills College, where there was a home recorder, and we finally just decided to release these things.
Yes. The octet didn't last very long, did it?
We lasted for 4 years. We have a record without a job. We did just maybe three or four concerts in the whole time.
Yes.
When they talk about starving musicians, we hold a record.
These records you were making on the West Coast began to receive nationwide publicity, and soon you found yourself a very celebrated and controversial figure. But I think before we talk about your big success, we better have another record. Let's have number four.
Well, I chose here the Debussy String Quartet. Now, I like this so much because I see a great similarity between jazz and classical music that I've never seen compared before. And I think more and more people are going to realize the tremendous relationship between all music. And not be saying this is jazz or this is classical. In this movement I've chosen, there's a typically African rhythmic beat, and almost melodically, it's very much like recordings I've heard from Africa.
Part of the Debussy String Quartet, the part of the second movement, played by the Löwengut Quartet of Paris. Dave, you've been talked of as leader of an esoteric school, that you're out on your own right away from the mainstream, making your own kind of private jazz. Is that a fair comment?
No, I don't think so. And I think the things that we're doing now are out on our own, but I think they have their roots in jazz, and maybe more so than most of the things they consider mainstream. After all, the work songs, the field cries of the early Negro, I know, I can prove, were in 5/4. Well, has anybody used 5/4 in jazz? Rarely. So we come over here and play a 5/4 piece, and they say it isn't jazz.
Hmm.
I don't think they know the tremendous rhythmical music of Africa, which is supposed to be the rhythmical root of jazz, how we've been neglecting this all along. Hmm. So if it doesn't sound in 2/4 or 4/4, they say it isn't jazz. I say it might have more traditional jazz in it than they think.
Mm-hmm. The basis of your work, of course, is improvisation.
Yes, and I think this is the great contribution of jazz, the freedom to improvise. When it's written, I consider it composition. That's the way I work. And when it's improvised and free, I consider it more as jazz should be.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's have record number 5. What's that going to be?
Well, this is an excellent example of composition and jazz. In fact, it's the problem that I'm going to confront the rest of my life, and I'd like to have this record on the desert island because it is the first time, to my knowledge, where composition and jazz have come together, Darius Milhaud's Creation of the World, and I think the best time that they've ever come together. Bernstein conducting this, too, is my favorite because he has a feeling for this rhythmic type of music.
Part of Darius Milhaud's The Creation of the World, conducted by Leonard Bernstein. Dave, you're over here with your quartet. How long have you been playing together?
Well, Paul Desmond and I have been playing together off and on since 1946. Mm-hmm. He was with the original octet. Then steadily we've been playing with the quartet since 1951.
Yeah. It's incredible the way you all think alike in those very intricate improvisations you get into. I mean, you go go out so wide, you need a good mathematical brain to get back.
Well, it helps playing together all these years, and of course Joe Morello, our drummer, has been with us going on 4 years, and yes. Eugene Wright on bass, 2 years.
Mm-hmm. You're a very successful man, Dave. Is there any ambition you have which still isn't realized?
Well, you know, I started out with a few ideas that I haven't realized yet, and I don't think when I'm through writing, dead, so to speak, that I will have attained them at all. But I haven't changed in my ideas so that I can see I'm closer to them. I wanted to play polyrhythmic jazz and polytonal jazz, and I'm still working all these years trying to do it, trying to get other musicians to do it with me. And our next LP, called Time Out, will be the closest I've come to that.
Fine. There is progress.
There is progress.
Let's have record number 6.
Well, let's have Mahalia Jackson's Didn't It Rain from the Newport 1958 Festival. This would help me bring Newport and all my years of playing there and all my association with the jazz musicians to the island. But it would be great to have Mahalia's voice there because it's so moving. The Negro spiritual is, to me, perhaps the most moving music in the world. And her voice, I would say, one of the greatest.
Mahalia Jackson singing Didn't It Rain. Dave, you're now required to pass an examination on your practical qualifications as a desert island castaway. Could you build a house of some sort to live in?
Yes, I think out of logs I could.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried that before, and it was a very primitive success.
But it stayed up.
Yes.
That's the main thing. Could you get food?
I know I could get food if I could fish or look for shellfish or crabs.
Yes. Having got it, could you cook it?
Yes, if I could build a fire. And I recall a few ways that you're supposed to be able to build a fire.
Yes, I hope they work. Now, suppose you've been on this island for some time, you're able to build a rough craft of some sort. You'd have no navigating instruments, and you wouldn't know exactly where you were. Now, would you try to escape, or would you stay put?
Well, it depends on the island. I've read Kon-Tiki. There's ways of getting out if the tides are right. But I think I'd be inclined to stick with the island.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's have your 7th record to play while you're there.
Well, I would choose Shostakovich, 5th Symphony. Now, he's not my favorite composer. I will not be having Bartok with me or Stravinsky, but I chose this because of the theme being a very important theme to me, and I would want to be composing on this desert island. Would you allow me manuscript paper?
Well, not officially. I don't know what you'd have with you in your pockets or whether you could manage on tree bark and squid ink, but anyway, I'm quite sure you'd find a way to keep
composing. This is a very important theme for me to have with me, the Shostakovich 5th.
Part of the first movement of the Shostakovich 5th Symphony, played by the Philharmonic Symphony Orchestra of London, conducted by Artur Rodzinski. Well, now we come to your last disc, Dave. You haven't chosen any of your own music yet.
No, and I don't intend to either. The reason for that is my mind would be like my own recordings. I can remember those. Mm. Wouldn't want to waste my final choice.
What is your final choice?
Oh, it would be the Beethoven 9th Symphony, the Ode to Joy. I think this is the most powerful piece of music ever written. And I would want that definitely with me.
The closing passage of Beethoven's 9th Symphony, Herbert von Karajan conducting our Philharmonia Orchestra of London and the Friends of Music Chorus of Vienna and soloists. Well, Dave, where are you off to when you leave Britain?
Well, we go to Italy for 3 days and then over the pole to San Francisco.
That's your home.
Right.
Well, now, as well as the 8 records you'll have on this island, you're also allowed one luxury.
Yes, and I would choose the piano.
I thought you might. And one book?
Oh, an encyclopedia of facts of world that goes back as far as recorded history up to the present and into the future, so I could manage on this island.
All right. And thank you, Dave Brubeck, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Discs.